Hello again. So I had a client come to me this week with a budget of £135,000 for a complete redesign of their website. They weren't talking to anyone other than me. There was no procurement process, no competitive tender, nothing like that. They just wanted me to help them make it happen. So on that basis, guess how much I signed an initial contract for? Seriously, think of a number in your head right now. The actual figure was £9,000. I bet that's a lot lower than you expected. And that's because I only encourage the client to sign up for a discovery phase, not the entire project. In fact, in all my years of running BOAG Works, I cannot think of a time when I signed a contract for more than about £10,000. In fact, most of my engagements are less than half of that. No, this isn't because I'm a terrible salesperson, although you might think that based on what I've told you so far. It's because I'm a great believer in taking small steps when trying to undertake extensive and big projects. You see, large projects make me nervous for three reasons. First, larger projects come with more stakeholders, more dependencies, and increased complexities. And in my experience, these factors are a recipe for disaster. Things get overlooked with so much going on at any one time, and people always want to rush on to the next stage without really thinking through what they're currently looking at. But when you break these larger projects down into more manageable chunks, each step gets the attention it deserves and everybody focuses on the same thing. Second, there's the fact that realistically planning a big project is nearly impossible. With so much going on, any timeline or costing you're likely to come up with is really going to be a work of fiction. Sure, in theory, it should be possible to list every task and then estimate how long each of those tasks is going to take. However, that doesn't take into account the inevitable changes that happen in the project or allow any flexibility in the project to adapt based on testing, for example. Even if you could create a quote like that and it was accurate, the time it would take to produce an estimate of that nature and in that much detail would be a considerable investment in itself and slow down the whole project significantly. When so much planning goes into a project up front, it increases the pressure on the project team to ensure that it succeeds because so much money has been spent just planning the project. And on top of that, these big projects with their extended timelines and their big budgets create an incredible pressure anyway because the cost of failure is huge. These projects become too big to fail, meaning companies end up pouring more and more money into a struggling project that's failing to deliver those unrealistic expectations up front. And the more money they pour into the project, the greater the cost of failure becomes, and you get into this vicious cycle. The situation is even worse if the organization commissioning the work is relying on a supplier to deliver it. The client insists on a fixed price to manage risk up front, which means a fixed scope, and that needs to be delivered before you even start work, and you just don't know enough at that point. And that leads to guesses about what needs to be delivered and a reluctance to change direction mid-project, even if the data or the testing suggests that you should do. And that means you end up delivering the wrong thing at a huge cost. This approach puts suppliers in an impossible situation of having to provide a quote for a poorly defined project and having no flexibility to adapt once the project kicks off. Not that it's any better for the clients either. Clients are expected to pick a supplier for a huge project based on very little knowledge. The chances of making a wrong decision are enormous and the cost of doing so even larger. By breaking projects down into smaller steps, the client gets to test the relationship with the supplier and the supplier gets to better understand what they have to deliver on each stage as it comes up. But big projects are disruptive and destructive for internal development teams too. They make scheduling impossible, causing issues with things like managing multiple projects simultaneously, and leaves the project teams spending most of their life managing the project and the stakeholders rather than getting the work done. I would argue most projects can benefit from being broken down into smaller steps with a series of limited scope engagements. Even smaller projects could easily have a standalone discovery phase and prototyping phase. Now, that might be as simple as a single workshop for each of those phases, but it would still keep people focused, allowing relationships to be built and to better scope the direction of the next steps. Essentially, each mini project informs the next step in the process, allowing for much more accurate planning and quoting. And if you actually carry out some testing, ensuring they're actually building the right thing. Take, for example, any website redesign project of any reasonable size that could easily be split down into five mini projects. You could have a discovery project, which allows you to focus on things like the goals, the users, the offering, and the context to really hone what it is that you want to do in the project. Secondly, you could have a wireframing project that focuses on content and information architecture and page layout. Then you could have a design project that focuses on the branding and the aesthetics. And all those previous projects would come together to help with the build, when you actually build the site itself, which would be a project in its own right. Then you can actually have a post-launch project focusing on post-launch optimization and conversion rate improvements. By breaking it down in this way, each project will help define the one that follows it, allowing for parties to better focus on the specific deliverables of that stage and clearly define the next. Look, I understand your concerns with working this way. The client wants to know how much a project is going to cost before they undertake it, and the supplier likes the idea of tying the client in for the whole project. Do you honestly not think I wanted to sign a contract for $135,000? But ultimately, these concerns reduce the likely success of the project, and that's not a cost worth paying. The client can still get a sense of the potential budgets without fixing them in stone, because let's be honest, that fixing a project price in stone never works anyway. As for the supplier, I find that smaller projects lead to happier clients, and happier clients are going to want to keep working with you over the long term. You don't need to tie them in with a contract. If you're unsure or unconvinced by what I've been saying, or if you've got any questions, look, drop me an email to paul@boagworld.com. I really would love to talk it over with you individually, because this is something I passionately believe in, and I want to set you up so that you can run projects in this way too. Because we really need to put an end to these high-risk redesign projects that are just not fit for purpose.